VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today. It's going to be a news roundup today, and we have got one packed program today. One of the features will be, well, today, the March for Life taking place. And the White House announced that President Donald Trump would be the first sitting president to attend. And indeed, he did. And we will be airing his speech during our third segment today during Crosstalk at the bottom of the hour. We trust you'll be able to be with us, and you'll hear what he had to say to the March for Life attendees today. March for Life has been an annual tradition since 1974, held each January to commemorate the infamous anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And again, be listening at the bottom of the hour. We'll be providing for you, courtesy of the White House, the speech President Trump gave this morning. Coming to us from the One American News Network, the vote for passage approving the rules for the impeachment trial, Senate Resolution 483, passed along party lines this week. Well, the trial started, and Mitch McConnell made last-minute adjustments, extending the impeachment trial to 3 days and granted each side 24 hours to debate. In addition to that, the Senate voted along party lines, rejecting all 11 amendments that were posed by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. The rules for the senator's question, FoxNews.com reports, are identical as compared with the Clinton trial. Upon the conclusion of the president's presentation, senators could question the parties for a period of time not to exceed 16 hours. And then, about per underlying Senate rules upon which both resolutions were based, the senators would have to submit those questions in writing. After the senators' questions period, then the House prosecutors and White House defense having 4 hours of debate over the question of whether to subpoena witnesses or documents. Rules also require witnesses to be deposed before they testify publicly. Senators were legally barred from having any sustenance other than water or milk at their desk all day and could not communicate verbally with one another during the proceedings. Very interesting indeed. Also from townhall.com, Democrats complained that any process does not allow them unfettered witness and document access is a cover-up. But the President Trump's lead attorney, Pat Cipollone, stated that they're not here to steal one election. They're trying to steal two. It's outrageous, and the American people are not going to stand for it. From FoxNews.com, on day number two of the trial, then, Schiff suggested at one point that military aid to Ukraine was essential so that the U.S. would not have to fight Russians at home. Well, he attracted criticism for making the argument that President Trump must be removed from office by the Senate rather than by voters in the 2020 election because it's impossible to be sure that the 2020 election won't be compromised. Schiff remarked that the president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box, for we cannot be assured that the vote will be fairly won. Right now is the proof of the Democrats' plan all along, Trump campaign director of communications Tim Murtaugh has said in a response. Every moment of the impeachment sham has been geared toward interfering with the 2020 election. Schiff is preemptively calling into question the results of an election that will have more than 9 months, though it's more than 9 months away. From CNSNews.com, White House's speaker, make that the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, bragging that President Donald Trump has been impeached forever. The Senate trial will result in Trump being acquitted forever, said Senator Ted Cruz in a Fox interview this past Sunday morning. Also, a very interesting story. It's lengthy. I wish we'd have time to go into the entire thing, but it's on WND.com. Barely 2 weeks after Donald Trump took office, Eric Ciramella, the CIA analyst whose name was recently linked in a tweet by the president and mentioned by lawmakers as the anonymous whistleblower who touched off Trump's impeachment, was overheard in the White House discussing with another staffer how to remove the newly elected president from office, according to former colleagues. I mean, just this is happening just days after. Sources told Real Clear Investigations the staffer with whom Ceramella was speaking was Sean Misko. Both were Obama administration holdovers working in the Trump White House on foreign policy and national security issues, and both expressed anger over President Trump's new America First foreign policy. Just days after he was sworn in, they were talking about how to get rid of him, said a White House colleague who overheard the conversation. Misko has left the White House last summer to join House impeachment manager Adam Schiff's committee, where sources say he offered, quote, guidance to the whistleblower. Misko then helped run the impeachment inquiry based on that complaint as a top investigator for congressional Democrats. Interesting story on WND.com as well. Senator Susan Collins of Maine said she asked Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice John Roberts to reprimand Representative Jerry Nadler for accusing senators of participating in a cover-up while he was trying to convince them to call witnesses in the Senate impeachment trial. Collins wrote a note to Roberts moments before he admonished the House impeachment managers and President Trump's defense team, The Hill reported. From CNSNews.com, when they finally get a chance to make their case to the Senate starting tomorrow, Saturday, President Donald Trump's impeachment defense lawyers are not going to present a rebuttal to Democrats' claims, said Jordan Sekulow. He said they're going to launch an attack on them, not a rebuttal, but an attack. Appearing on Fox and Friends, Sekulow said that the Trump's legal team will expose Democrats' misstatements and show how Democrats dishonestly edited witness testimony to distort what witnesses have actually said and meant. A Friday news roundup here today on Crosstalk. Many things that are going on. We're going to leave impeachment, Lord willing, on Wednesday of next week's Crosstalk program. Matt Staver is to join us from Liberty Counsel with all the latest information and providing his analysis on how things are going in the United States Senate on this critical issue. As we talk about Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel issuing a press release this week that the U.S. Make this last Thursday, the U.S. Department of Justice, Department of Education announced a proposed rule that will provide guidance on legal protections for prayer and other religious expression in public schools. The purpose of this updated guidance is to provide information on the current state of the law and to clarify the extent to which prayer in public schools is legally protected. The First Amendment guarantees students the right to pray individually or in groups on school grounds during any non-instructional time. All students may express their opinions verbally or in writing before or after school, in between classes, during the lunch, during the lunch hour, or on the playing field. Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel said, quote, I commend the Trump administration for taking measures to educate the public on the legal protections for prayer and other religious expression in public schools. Not only that, but from Epoch Times, on this year's National Religious Freedom Day, President Trump issued a policy letter on students' constitutional right to pray. Let me share what he said, but he also has protection of religious freedom as well. He said, President Trump said, in the sacred principle of our republic, the government must never stand between the people and God. This is what he tweeted out. He said, yet in public schools around the country, authorities are stopping students and teachers from praying, sharing their faith, or following their religious beliefs. It is totally unacceptable. The U.S. Department of Education will send the president's directive now to education secretaries and officials in all 50 states as a reminder that schools may jeopardize their federal funding if they deny students religious freedom guaranteed by the First Amendment. Also from Matt Staver, President Donald Trump protects religious freedom in social services. So protecting it in schools, now in social services as well, as the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is proposing a rule that implements President Trump's executive order that removes current regulatory burdens on religious organizations and ensures that religious and non-religious organizations are treated equally in HHS-supported programs. HHS's proposed rule would eliminate current discriminatory regulations enacted by former President Obama that require only religious providers of social services to make referrals under certain circumstances to alternative service providers and post notices regarding this referral procedure. The Rule clarifies that religious organizations participating in HHS-supported programs retain their independence from the government and may continue to carry out their missions consistent with religious freedom protections in federal law, including the free speech and free exercise clauses of the First Amendment. The Daily Wire tells us that a campaign staffer for Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, Iowa field organizer Kyle Jurek, suggested that those who push back against communist revolutions should expect a violent response. I'm editing out the vulgarity that's in his message, but he says this, like, you can't abide people actively working against your revolution, like you can give them a choice. Like, hey, you can join the revolution, you cannot be a bootlicker, you can sit idly by and allow it to happen, but if you're going to take up arms against the revolution, then you should expect a violent response. Another Bernie staffer allegedly promotes violence to kill the rich, put Republicans in camps, is the story as well that is coming out from Pamela Geller, as an undercover video produced by Project Veritas shows Martin Weisgerber, South Carolina field organizer for the Sanders campaign, talking about wanting to kill wealthy people and wanting to throw Republicans into camps. Some of the quotes from the video include, well, the gulags were founded as re-education camps. What will happen is when we send all the Republicans to the re-education camps. Another one said, I'm already on Twitter following numerous groups around the country that are ready to organize yellow vest protests. I'm ready. And another one, he said, I think I was radicalized from the day I was born. My dad is a Marxist, like straight up from Belgium. He took part in Paris 68, and all that is really cool. Several other tweets there as well, but Project Veritas releasing these undercover investigations going forth. Also, Senator Elizabeth Warren, this is from WND.com, has released plans to order the Justice Department to investigate Donald Trump should she be elected president in November, and she wants to fire multitudes of federal officials. Her proposal is restoring integrity and competence to government after Trump, explains 1 year from today. The next president will begin her first full day of work. She will be inheriting a government in crisis. Rooting out the corruption in our government starts with wiping the slate clean on political appointments. She will remove all political appointees. She also wants to prevent any appointees from getting other jobs in government. And she would order that the Department of Justice investigate President Trump. Oh, there's problems in the Buttigieg campaign. Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg campaign canceled a fundraiser at the Dark Lady. That's a gay Rhode Island nightclub following a dispute over the presence of a stripper pole, according to the venue. Dark Lady's manager told WPRI that campaign staffers asked the club to remove the pole before they went. When the club refused, staffers canceled the fundraiser. The Buttigieg campaign's cancellation angered individuals. Philip Deal, founder of the Mr. Pole Dance America, told the LGBT publication that Buttigieg's decision was shameful, saying this points to the bigger issue in the LGBT community, which is young gay people don't know our history, and that's a serious problem. LGBTQ people died for the right to walk into a bar, to dance, and hold hands with their lovers without having to fear police brutality. If Pete Buttigieg does not want to embrace our glorious gay culture, he doesn't need the gay vote. Oh, there's a division happening within the LGBT community over this decision by the Buttigieg campaign. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution ever go backwards or reverse itself?
Chris, I don't think evolution occurs at all. God created each basic category of life. They may have varied, but this is not evolution. For evolution, you have to have new genes, new traits, new body parts, not just variety of the old. Sometimes evolutionists claim that evolution reverses itself and goes backwards. For instance, some are now claiming that the chimps, which are basically tree dwellers, descended from a missing link which walked upright, therefore backwards evolution. Chris, I think this is just as wrong as evolution in general is wrong. The evidence supports the biblical truth that man and apes are separate. There's variety among both, but they did not have a common ancestor. And that's just what we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We've got a very packed News Roundup day here today on Crosstalk. We've got some more stories in this segment. The next segment will be airing President Donald Trump's message today at the March for Life rally in Washington, D.C. From Jihad Watch, a man recently released from prison is back behind bars after reportedly threatening a Glendale, Arizona family and police, also threatening police, saying, "Allahu Akbar, I have a bomb." Court records show. Glendale police report that on January 4th, around 4 in the morning, officers were called to an apartment complex, told the 31-year-old Myron Taquan Clark was previously thrown out of the family's apartment for alleged drug use, has returned, broke a window, dove into the apartment. Three officers were at the top of the stairs when Clark jumped out of the front window yelling, "Allahu Akbar, I have a bomb." Court records show Clark then grabbed a gun from an officer who had his weapon drawn, then proceeded to tackle the responding officer down the stairs. Clark allegedly began punching the officer, digging his finger into the officer's eye, court records show. Clark also reportedly fought with the other two officers before being tased and arrested. Just a reminder, Allahu Akbar means Allah is bigger, Allah is greater. And those of you listening in Kentucky right now, do you know what happened 2 days ago at your state capitol? 2 days ago, Wednesday, the Council on American Islamic Relations hosted a Muslim Day at your state capitol. In a statement, CARE Kentucky Chair Wahida Mohammed said, "We want Muslims to have a voice in the issues that affect our lives and the lives of all Kentuckians. We hope that with the training and the experience of Muslim Day at the state capitol, Kentucky Muslims will be encouraged and confident to become even more civically engaged when we are engaged and advocate for what makes life better for Muslims." Newsmax.com reporting, the Supreme Court last Friday will decide ahead of the 2020 election whether presidential electors are bound to support the popular vote winner in their states or if they can opt for someone else. Justices will be hearing oral arguments in April, should be releasing a decision by late June. Here is a story from the Daily Wire. Folks, do you remember Puerto Rico, how the Trump White House criticized back in 2018 for its slow response and ineffective response to Hurricane Maria, despite the president's claims that thousands of workers and tens of thousands of pounds of supplies were airlifted to Puerto Rico as soon as it was safe? Oh, did the media trounce on this, criticizing the president, a slow response, ineffective response. Guess what? As reported in the Daily Wire, the head of Puerto Rico's emergency management agency is out of a job after residents of one of the cities hit hardest by the earthquake discovered a locked warehouse stuffed to the brim with emergency supplies delivered to help those affected by Hurricane Maria more than 2 years ago. One of the residents posted a video of the discovery on Facebook showing a massive warehouse full of the pallets upon pallets of bottled water, non-perishable food, diapers, baby formula, emergency supplies. The supplies apparently delivered as part of a Hurricane Maria relief effort back in June of 2018 and never distributed. The now former head of Puerto Rico's emergency management office says he was never instructed to give out the supplies. And then insisted to the media that residents had full access to all the items. Well, the governor of Puerto Rico apparently did not believe him. Carlos Acevedo, the director of Puerto Rico's Office of Emergency Management, was dismissed this past Saturday. The governor appointed Jose Reyes, the general of the Puerto Rico National Guard, to replace him. There are thousands of people who made sacrifices to bring aid to the South, and it's unforgivable that resources have been kept in a warehouse, the governor said in a statement. Yeah, again, the Trump administration said, we've sent supplies. and now they have discovered a locked warehouse stuffed to the brim. Newsmax.com reporting thousands of gun rights activists from around the country rallied peacefully at the Virginia Capitol Monday, protesting plans by the state's Democratic leadership to pass gun control legislation. The rally concluded uneventfully around noon, and the mood was largely festive, with rallygoers chanting USA, waving signs denouncing their governor, Ralph Northam. From CNSNews.com, speaking with a reporter at the pro-Second Amendment rally in Richmond on Monday, Grayson County Sheriff Richard Vaughn said that if the radical gun control measures being pushed by the liberal Democrats in the state legislature are passed, he said they will not be enforced because they are unconstitutional. He said, we'll support to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Virginia. That's what we'll do. Daily Wire also reporting the day after a massive gathering of gun rights activists at the Virginia Capitol, the state Senate Tuesday advanced legislation that would allow authorities to take guns away from people deemed dangerous to themselves or others, the Associated Press reported. The move by the Virginia Democrats comes a day after 22,000 protesters flooded the streets. The reaction to the agenda in the state has been so intense, the Washington Examiner reported Tuesday that lawmakers in West Virginia are now considering accepting counties that want to leave Virginia. Daily Wire is also reporting illegal border crossings in Arizona have plunged in December of 2019, dropping a staggering 90% over the year previous. Following the Trump administration change in policy that is asylum seekers waiting for their adjudication hearings in Mexico, not in the United States. Fox News also reporting that the Trump administration has started returning Mexican migrants deep into the country's interior as part of an expanding effort to deter illegal immigration and combat the ongoing crisis at the border. The Department of Homeland Security started running flights from Tucson, Arizona to Guadalajara in December. The idea would be to make it harder for repeat offenders to try and cross the border again if they are returned hundreds of miles away. Officials say returning people closer to their hometowns is better for them as well and allows them to receive services from the Mexican government. Newsmax.com reporting the Trump administration planning to crack down on the practice of birth tourism, where thousands of foreign pregnant women enter the U.S. on a visa, give birth to children who automatically gain American citizenship, and then take the babies back home or to another country. Center for Immigration Studies, a group that advocates for stricter immigration laws, estimated in 2012 alone about 36,000 foreign-born women gave birth in the U.S. and then left the country. Newsmax.com tells us that ICE has subpoenaed Denver law enforcement for information on four foreign nationals wanted for deportation. It's an escalation of the conflict between federal officials and the so-called sanctuary cities. If a city officials don't respond, ICE could take the subpoena to a federal judge who can order compliance and fine them in contempt if they don't comply. These four men, folks, it's unbelievable how states will harbor criminals and then complain when there's violence. These Mexican nationals and one Honduran had all been arrested and jailed for violent offenses like sexual assault and child abuse and had all been previously deported, according to ICE. Daily Wire telling us that the Illinois Board of Elections has admitted that some non-citizens of the United States may have illegally voted in the 2018 election. Spokesman Matt Dietrich stated, "We do know that some of them voted in 2018. Democrat Secretary of State Jesse Weisshoff has acknowledged the mistake in a letter to the State Board of Elections on December 18th. Spokesman Harry Haupt stated the individuals who are applying for driver's licenses were inadvertently pulled into the automatic voter registration. How many states are pushing that? For motor voter, you know, you get a driver's license, you're automatically enrolled. Well, more and more states now are allowing for the driver's licenses to be given to illegal aliens. Now, keep in mind that when here they have said that illegal aliens voted, the Macon County Sheriff's race was decided by one single vote, the News Gazette reported in December of 2018. By one vote. from CBS News at this year's Super Bowl. Many will be watching the sidelines for Katie Sowers, an offensive assistant coach with the 49ers, who will become the first female and openly gay person to be calling the shots during the football's biggest game. She was just the second woman hired as a full-time coach for an NFL team and the first openly LGBTQ coach in the league's history. The Daily Signal, saying the latest women's professional sport to pay homage to transgender ideology, is World Long Drive Golf. It's a sport that involves driving golf balls long distances off of tees. Australian Jimmy O'Neill, born male and now identifying as female, holds a bodily advantage over all the women in the World Long Drive. In August 2019, O'Neill's total yardage was 280 yards. By December, it was 301. O'Neill's goal is 350 yards by this April, which will pass the highest championship score recorded in the women's division since its inception of 347 yards. Without a doubt, O'Neill will crush the female competitors in long drive golf sports. The reason is simple biology, they report. Men have more skeletal muscle mass, more upper body strength, more lower body strength, and stronger grips than women. That's why sports establish separate divisions for men and women in the first place. South Dakota, here's a story for you. LifeSiteNews.com, a Republican lawmaker in South Dakota, has filed a bill that will make it a criminal offense for medical professionals to assist in practices aimed at the attempted transitioning of children from one sex to another. Representative Fred Deutsch filed House Bill 1057, which he's calling the Vulnerable Child Protection Act. If passed, it would make it a Class 4 felony for a medical professional to conduct several practices on children, including those who are emancipated, in an attempt to change or affirm the child's perception of his or her sex, if that perception is inconsistent with the minor's sex. In South Dakota, a Class 4 felony can result in imprisonment for 10 years. So this would make it a felony to give kids puberty blockers and medical gender transition. Things are going a different direction, though, in Appleton, Wisconsin, as this week the Appleton, Wisconsin Common Council voted 14-1 to ban so-called conversion therapies for minors in Appleton. And we understand the State Licensing Board is going to be holding a hearing in Wisconsin this coming Tuesday to make this universal for all licenses granted in the state of Wisconsin. LifeSiteNews.com. By the way, you can contact Wisconsin Family Council for more information on it. LifeSiteNews.com, a Missouri state lawmaker, has introduced legislation that would empower communities to keep Drag Queen Story Hour and other radical sexually charged material away from their children at public libraries. The House Bill 2044, the Parental Oversight of Public Libraries Act, requires any library that receives taxpayer dollars to create a review board composed of five parents elected from the community with final authority over the permissibility of sexual material. Oh, that needs to be followed in more communities across the nation. We have from NBC News, Hallmark announced Wednesday that the chief executive or of its subsidiary overseeing the Hallmark Channel and stepping down a month after the network was at the center of the backlash over its decision to pull a same-sex marriage advertisement. Bill Abbott, the chief executive of Crown Media Family Networks, is leaving the company with a replacement yet to be announced. The news comes after the Hallmark Channel was caught up in the controversy after pulling the Zola commercial featuring a lesbian couple's wedding amid conservative pressure. Interesting indeed. We're going to take a quick break right now, and folks, when we come back from the break, we're going to go right to Washington, D.C., where audio recording has been received from the White House pertaining to President Trump's speech that he gave at today's March for Life. It's going to occupy the entire segment. We'll be taking calls during the final segment, so you listen in. We've got you'll hear firsthand what the president had to say at the March for Life. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
The phone rings and your heart stops. You look down at the screen and see the name of your dear friend who has been waiting for biopsy results. As your shaking fingers fumble to answer the call, your heart cries out a silent prayer. You immediately hear the shock and sadness in her voice. You know, even before she utters the words, it's cancer. What do you say? What do you do at such a time? You want to be supportive, but don't know how to. In the book, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer, Cancer survivor Marissa Henley shares from her heart the struggles of cancer, but also presents very practical ideas on ministering to your friend or loved one with emotional needs, spiritual needs, tackling logistical needs, and far more to lend support. Loving Your Friend Through Cancer is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're going to take you to Washington, D.C., where just hours ago, President Donald Trump, the first president ever to address March for Life, made these comments. Stand by and listen.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, Jeannie. It is my profound honor to be the first president in history to attend the March for Life. We're here for a very simple reason, to defend the right of every child, born and unborn, to fulfill their God-given potential. For 47 years, Americans of all backgrounds have traveled from across the country to stand for life. And today, as President of the United States, I am truly proud to stand with you. I want to welcome tens of thousands, this is a tremendous turnout, tens of thousands of high school and college students who took long bus rides to be here in our nation's capital. And to make you feel even better, there are tens of thousands of people outside that we passed on the way in. If anybody would like to give up their spot, we can work that out. You have a tremendous group of people outside, thousands and thousands wanted to get in. This is some great success. Young people are the heart of the March for Life, and it's your generation that is making America the pro-family, pro-life nation. The life movement is led by strong women, amazing faith leaders, and brave students who carry on the legacy of pioneers before us, who fought to raise the conscience of our nation and uphold the rights of our citizens. You embrace mothers with care and compassion. You are powered by prayer and motivated by pure, unselfish love. You are grateful, and we are so grateful. These are incredible people, to be joined by Secretary Alex Azar and Kellyanne Conway. Thank you. And thanks also to Senators Mike Lee and James Lankford, who are here. James, Mike. Thank you, fellas. And Representatives Steve Scalise, Chris Smith, Ralph Abraham, Warren Davidson, Bob Latta, John Joyce, Lloyd Smucker, Brian Fitzpatrick, and Brad Winstrup. Thank you all. And I have to say, and I look at it, I see it exactly, we have many, many more politicians in the audience, but if you don't mind, I won't introduce them all. All of us here today understand an eternal truth. Every child is a precious and sacred gift from God. Together, we must protect, cherish, and defend the dignity and the sanctity of every human life. When we see the image of a baby in the womb, we glimpse the majesty of God's creation. When we hold a newborn in our arms, we know the endless love that each child brings to a family. When we watch a child grow, we see the splendor that radiates from each human soul. One life changes the world. From my family, and I can tell you, I send love, and I send great, great love. And from the first day in office, I've taken a historic action to support America's families and to protect the unborn. And during my first week in office, I reinstated and expanded the Mexico City policy, and we issued a landmark pro-life rule to govern the use of Title X taxpayer funding. I notified Congress that I would veto any legislation that weakens pro-life policies or that encourages the destruction of human life. At the United Nations, I made clear that global bureaucrats have no business attacking the sovereignty of nations that protect innocent life. Unborn children have never had a stronger defender in the White House. And as the Bible tells us, each person is wonderfully made. We have taken decisive action to protect the religious liberty. So important, religious liberty has been under attack all over the world and, frankly, very strongly attacked in our nation. You see it better than anyone, but we are stopping it. And we're taking care of doctors, nurses, teachers, and groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor. We are preserving faith-based adoption. And to uphold our founding documents, we have confirmed 187 federal judges who apply the Constitution as written, including two phenomenal Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. We are protecting pro-life students' right to free speech on college campuses. And if universities want federal taxpayer dollars, then they must uphold your First Amendment right to speak your mind. And if they don't, they pay a very big financial penalty, which they will not be willing to pay. Sadly, the far left is actively working to erase our God-given rights, shut down faith-based charities, ban religious believers from the public square, and silence Americans who believe in the sanctity of life. They are coming after me because I am fighting for you, and we are fighting for those who have no voice, and we will win because we know how to win. We all know how to win. We all know how to win. You've been winning for a long time. You've been winning for a long time. Together we are the voice for the voiceless. When it comes to abortion, Democrats, and you know this, you've seen what's happened. Democrats have embraced the most radical and extreme positions taken and seen in this country for years and decades. And you could even say for centuries. Nearly every top Democrat in Congress now supports taxpayer-funded abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. Last year, lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb right up until delivery. Then we had the case of the Democrat governor in the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia. And we love the Commonwealth of Virginia, but what is going on in Virginia? What is going on? The governor stated that he would execute a baby after birth. You remember that. Senate Democrats even blocked legislation that would give medical care to babies who survive attempted abortions. And that's why I've called on Congress, two of our great senators here, so many of our congressmen here, and called upon them to defend the dignity of life and to pass legislation prohibiting late-term abortion of children who can feel pain in their mother's womb. This year, the March for Life is celebrating the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, which forever enshrined women's rights to vote in the United States and given by the United States Constitution. Such a big event. Today, millions of extraordinary women across America are using the power of their votes to fight for the right and all of their rights as given in the Declaration of Independence. It's the right to life. To all the women here today, your devotion and your leadership uplifts our entire nation, and we thank you for that. The tens of thousands of Americans gathered today not only stand for life, it's really here that they stand for it so proudly together. And I want to thank everybody for that. You stand for life each and every day. You provide housing, education, jobs, and medical care to the women that you serve. You find loving families for children in need of a forever home. You host baby showers for expecting moms. You just make it your life's mission to help spread God's grace. And to all of the moms here today, we celebrate you and we declare that mothers are heroes. Your strength, devotion, and drive is what powers our nation. And because of you, our country has been blessed with amazing souls who have changed the course of human history. We cannot know what our citizens, yet unborn, will achieve, the dreams they will imagine, the masterpieces they will create, the discoveries they will make. But we know this: every life brings love into this world. Every child brings joy to a family. Every person is worth protecting. And above all, we know that every human soul is divine and every human life, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of Almighty God. Together, we will defend this truth all across our magnificent land. We will set free the dreams of our people. And with determined hope, we look forward to all of the blessings that will come from the beauty, talent, purpose, nobility, and grace of every American child. I want to thank you. This is a very special moment. It's so great to represent you. I love you all. And I say with true passion, thank you, God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you all. Thank you.
And there we have the President's address this morning as he addressed the March for Life. And folks, we're opening our phone lines right now. We've got one segment for your comments, just short comments coming in today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Your reaction to the speech or to the news stories today, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. In our series on the dangers of having a discourse with the Marxist, we find ourselves at point number 5. When you willingly submit to the propaganda and manipulation of the group by the cultural Marxist, and their ultimate goal of reality or truth is defined by the group consensus, you're in a dangerous spot. See, when you surrender to that, what you're saying is, group consensus decides what is true. The culture as a whole decides what is true. Now, this is totally against not only the Bible, because the Bible says that men will do what is right in their own eyes. It's against our constitutional republic, because our founding fathers said, we don't care what the majority wants. They called it mobocracy, the rule of the 51%. We care what are the laws of nature and nature's God, the moral law, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. But group consensus by the cultural Marxists, well, if they can get you to go along with that, you're agreeing that truth is defined by the group. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a new roundup day today. By the way, the Iowa Senate panel passed a bill saying there's no right to kill babies in abortions. That was approved 5-2 party line vote forward to the full state Senate for consideration. However, in New York, they legalized abortion up to birth. Now they're wanting to force New York taxpayers to pay for them. Let's go right to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk, and we're beginning with Robert in Missouri. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Well, one of the things that President Trump failed to mention to his credits were his annual funding of Planned Parenthood and their annual budget, which I think just got kicked in last month. And as well as the after the congressional investigation of Planned Parenthood, citing numerous felony violations that took place in 15 or 16. Anyway, we have yet to see anything come forward from the Department of Justice. And this is also more insulting now that we've had the Center for Medical Progress's trial take place, where Planned Parenthood admitted on court record that the videos that were taken by the Center for Medical Progress were real videos.
So Robert, thanks so much. I got your comment. We're short on time, so we got the gist of what you're saying. You're right. We should not be funding Planned Parenthood with one dime, not $1. Thank you for the call. Christine in Jackson, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hello. I would just like to say that I was so moved by President Trump's speech. It was the best speech I've ever heard. I'm on my way home in my car, and I'm weeping listening to it. I am so proud of him, and God bless him, his family, and God bless all of you at CCY for doing what you do. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Grand Junction, Colorado. Sheila, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to call to let you know that I believe President Trump is a changed man. I used to watch him on TV before he ever ran for office. I believe he's a changed man, and I believe that he has surrounded himself with God's people, and I think that God's people all over this nation need to get behind him and support him with their prayers.
Thank you for your call, Sheila. Our number 800-733-9829. East Troy, Wisconsin. William, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, a lady a week ago or so accused you of not telling the truth on VCY. I disagree with her. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. A singer named Tyler Swift, she wants to promote all kinds of wickedness like homosexuality and transgenderism. And recently a transgender man went in and fought with a woman during a mixed martial arts scenario and crushed her skull. I wonder if that's what she's trying to promote, is wickedness and women being abused and beat up by transgender men. I think it's wickedness, and we need to reprove it. Thank you for all you do, and God bless.
Thank you, William. We're taking time, brief comments today. We've got a few open lines right now, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Jim in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to thank Trump for his great speech. And when is the last time we've had a president that stood up and talked about God and the Bible? And just want to say, hey, he's making America great again. So thank you all.
Thank you for your call here today. 800-733-9829. By the way, from ChristianNews.net, the Virginia Senate has voted now to repeal laws that prohibit same-sex marriage civil unions in the state. They voted Tuesday to repeal two state laws prohibiting same-sex marriage and civil unions. The votes were mostly along party lines, but with five Republicans voting in favor of the proposal. If the Obergefell decision gets overturned, that would not have the protection in Virginia that it once had. Mary in Boise, Idaho, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to let you know that I'm an 82-year-old great-grandma, and when my mother found out she was expecting me, she and the doctors all tried to do an abortion, but it never worked, and God allowed me to live, and I'm just really a patriot of all the life changes that are happening in the United States. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Blanche in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, I thank God for President, and I thank God for President Trump. There's finally someone that will stand up for the right to life and stand up against the evil that's going on in this country. I praise God for that, and everyone, every Christian out there, every believer in our country, our freedoms, needs to stand with Trump and support him. I stand with him, and I support him. He's the best president I've ever had that I've ever known. I'm 79 years old.
Thank you, Blanche, for your comments today. Let's go to Susan in West Virginia. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm thankful for President Trump because I listened to his speech with the Women for Life against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wonderful president because there's no other president would do what he has done.
Okay, thank you, Susan, for your call here today as well on Crosstalk. I know it's been just rapid fire here on the phones today as it relates to just getting your brief comments. And caller number one is right. We are funding Planned Parenthood with our tax dollars. It's wrong, should not be happening. And in my opinion, that also needs to change. Very quickly here as we conclude the program, want to share with you two matters as well, and that is from internationalnews.com out of Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the blue and white leader Benny Gantz have both been invited to the White House to learn about the Trump administration's peace plan, and we understand that that meeting is going to be happening this coming Tuesday, January 28th, coinciding with the establishment of the Knesset committee. The White House plans to publish a statement on the Middle East peace program in the coming days. Certainly a matter to keep in prayer. And then also one other interesting story today from Christian Post. Amazon is working on a system that would link customers' credit card information to a non-contact biometric identification system that will digitally scan a customer's hand. Although plans are in the early stages, the tech giant has set in motion collaborative efforts with companies such as Visa to test hand scanner terminals for use in its brick-and-mortar stores. Financial groups J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Synchrony Financial are also in discussions with Amazon about participating, according to CNBC. Interesting news, and folks, there is much to be praying about, not only for those that are in authority over us, our president, our congressional leaders, regardless of R or D behind their name, but also critical issues that are facing us in this nation and around the world. By the way, it's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for joining us here on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.